I don't know what I'll say to you, but I want you to listen. Some that ought to be here tonight, I notice, is not here. And I wish they were. But in the 13th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, beginning at the first verse, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy. And say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. Ye have not gone up into the gap, neither made up the hedge, for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, The Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. They have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision, and have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, The Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Because they have seduced my people, saying, Peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which daubed it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall, and there shall be an overflowing shower. And ye, O great hailstone, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, Where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger and great hailstones and my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar, and break it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, The wall is no more, neither they that daubed it, to wit, the prophets of Israel which prophesy concerning Jerusalem and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people which prophesy out of their own heart. And prophesy thou against them, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Woe to the women that sew pillars, all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every statue to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people, and will ye save the souls alive that come unto you, and will ye pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread? To slay the souls that should not die, and to save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies? Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against your pillars, wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly. And I will tear them from your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. Your kerchiefs also will I tear, and deliver my people out of your hand. And they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way, by promising him life. Therefore ye shall see no more vanity nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hands, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Now, you know, this is some strong preaching. The prophet that preached those things that I just read to Israel, I feel sure that when he finished his sermons that Israel was literally shaken. If God had sent him to me, I would have shook in my boots. And I believe that God today is speaking to you and to all of those that will not listen to his word.
The one thing that God spoke against Saul of old was this. God said unto Saul, because thou hast rejected my word, then I have rejected thee from being king over Israel. And so it is that God watches his word. The Bible teaches that he watches his word. He watches over his word, that he might perform his word. God doesn't care about what I think. God doesn't care about what you think. But God cares about his word. And so then, God watches over his word to perform it. He said that I am against the prophets that prophesy out of their own heart. I am against the prophets that say that there will be peace when there is no peace. I'm against the prophets that sadden the heart of the people whose heart ought to be made joyful. And I am against the prophet that makes joyful the heart of the people that ought to be saddened. Woe unto the man that calls darkness light and light darkness, he said. So then we have been living in a day when ministers for a little handful of bread and a little barley, just to have a new car and have a nice income and a new home, they've lied to the people. And they've told the people that everything was going to be all right when it's not going to be all right. And they've spoken lying vanities and lying divinations to them. And they've made them to trust in their words when God has spoken and said there's nothing but trouble and heartaches ahead for them. When I left Israel a few months ago, I told David, our guide, I said, we're leaving Israel, but our visit here was from God. And I said, David, when I leave, Israel is in for trouble. And I said, there's going to be trouble. I said, David, you can look for it. I said, great trouble is coming to Israel when we leave from here. And since we've left from there, there's been nothing but trouble, one problem right after another. It's been a continual thing right in the city. Right in Jerusalem, right in their own neighborhood. It's been a great turmoil and a great trouble. It had been outside of their gates and they'd had problems, but they'd conquered the problems and they'd conquered their enemies off at a distance and they couldn't even get to their cities to cause them problems. But since we've left, they've had nothing but problems in the city and in their own surroundings and among their own people. God tells us that we have to speak the word. And the words of truth, and the word that lets people know their rights and their wrongs, and what God wants them to do, and what God doesn't want them to do, and what God's going to require of them, and what God isn't going to require of them. And God expects us to tell the truth. Now, I can get up here, and I can war, and I can fight, and I can strive, and I can cause trouble. Where the Bible tells us that the minister of God to be gentle and that he's not to strive with the people. It is not our way to strive with people, nor is it God's desire that we should strive with people. God doesn't strive with people. When God sent Paul, Paul never strived with people. Paul said, thou shalt be blind for a season, and so it was. Now, a lot of times we wrestle against the evil powers, against the principalities, against Satan and his wickedness as he comes into the church. We wrestle against those powers. Paul said, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. And we wrestle against your intellectual thinking. When you come in, you intellectually begin to reason, begin to wonder, begin to lean to your own understanding. It lets in evil spirits, and we find ourselves wrestling against those evil spirits. But we're not striving with the people. God has not called us to strive with the people. God does not expect us to strive with the people. The only enemy the preacher will ever have is a carnal-minded person. An intellectual-minded person or a carnal-minded person will always be the enemy of the preacher. If he's a true man of God, he'll always find an enemy when he finds an intellectual person. That's why that the Bible says that not many mighty are called. God doesn't call many great men that are educated, got a lot of understanding. It's not because God isn't willing to save them. The Bible tells us that God's willing that all men should come to repentance and have everlasting life. But God knows that He cannot reason with those people. They've molded a nature. They've got their own way of life. They've figured the thing out, and they've got the thing working for them. And that thing brings them their bread and brings them their meat, and therefore they're happy over the situation. And you can't change them around. It is a true fact that even in this message, when God brings somebody into it, God breaks them down completely. He takes them completely down. Why does God do that? It isn't because God wants to take away your prosperity or take away what you got. God doesn't want to do that. But God has to take you away from your carnal mind, away from your carnal reasoning, away from your own ability, and help you to see that God is the one you've got to trust in. So then He breaks you down. He takes your money away from you. He takes your prestige away from you. He takes everything away from you that you trust in, that He might convert you over and then get you to trust in Him. Hallelujah. How sweet and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Hallelujah. Isn't it? God wants to take what you've got. You say, well, Brother Pike, can you prove that? I can prove that because He came to a man one time, and the man hurried down out of the tree, and he began to repent, and he said, oh God, he said, if I've taken anything from anybody falsely, I'll restore it to them, O Lord, fourfold, and give half of what I got to the poor. And God said, this day salvation is coming to your house. He had the right understanding. He had the right attitude. He had the right outlook on things. And God didn't have to just rob him of everything he had, so to speak, or let Satan do it. But 9 people out of every 10 that comes to Christ is overconfident in their own ability, in their own doings, in their own plans, in their own way of life. And it doesn't matter if you preach 5 million sermons to them. When you get through, they're still overconfident. They still say what they want to say. They still get at the table somewhere and have a little conference out of your presence. And, add a little bit to the fire. No matter how many sermons you preach, the Lord said concerning the prophets and concerning Israel, He said, all day long, Israel, He said, my hand has been stretched out to you. All day long I've preached to you. I've sent Moses to you. I've rose up early sending prophets and wise men. He said, but you still do the way you want to do and think the things you want to think and say the things that you want to say. So then He said, there's just one answer to the situation. He must be born again. There's got to be a new heart, Israel. I've got to take out that old heart of stone that's called the law, and I've got to place within you a heart of flesh that I can reach out and touch your heart and make it tender, and your bowels of compassion will be broken toward me. I've got to do the thing different, Israel. All of the instructions I've given you, all of the exhortation I've given you, all that I've said to you, all the words I've spoken to you, pay no attention to them. Therefore, there's only one answer. You must have my spirit. You must be born again. You've got to have my nature. You've got to get my mind, my understanding, my love. And you've got to get it down inside of your heart, down inside of your spirit, down inside of your life. And let that thing become a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Otherwise, you will never make it into the kingdom of God. In other words, Israel, I will never be able to take a word of commandment and lead you into the things that I want you to come into. I'll never be able to do it. But by the divine presence of God, I'll translate you into the marvelous kingdom of God. By faith in the word of God, I'll have the preachers to come and preach that the word of faith, and by the hearing of faith, it will bring my presence, and through my presence, you'll be able to enter into the riches and wonders of Christ. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word, and the word by the preacher. And how can he preach lest he be sent? So then by faith Enoch was translated into the kingdom. And God has brought a spirit. And that spirit is His own spirit. And the prophets of old prayed like this. They said, Lord, don't let us go up to battle unless your presence goes with me. I prayed many times, Brother Lyman. I prayed at home. I've cried before God. And I said, Lord, don't let me go to the pulpit to preach the gospel unless your presence go with me. I said, when I go up to battle Satan, when I take up the sword, God, let your presence go with me. And his presence does go with me. So then the Lord walks along beside us and keeps us. He commands us that we are not to make happy the hearts of people who are not living right. We are not to spare any of them. Young or old, we are not to spare anyone that is not living right. He said, if you spare any of them, they will become pricks in your side. If a person is not living right and God shows you by discernment that that person is not right, if that person is given to evil spirits and powers, and God commands you to use the sword. And God said, cursed is everyone that holdeth back his sword from blood. So when I go up to battle, I whet my sword. I go before God and I sharpen my sword. And when I come out to battle, I come out to battle without respect to person. Whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you've got power, riches, whatever you've got, it makes no difference to me. Paul said, they that seem to be somewhat in conference, they add nothing to me. When I come out to battle, I come out without respect to person. Everybody looks alike to me. I don't evaluate them according to their understanding or education, according to their power, their wealth, or their appearance. I evaluate them according to the Word of God. I don't evaluate them according to races or colors or creeds or what their religious background is, but according to God's Word. Hallelujah. I pray, Father, let me not go out to battle lest your presence go with me. I want God's presence with me. When I go out to battle, I want God's presence right there. I want the sword of the Lord in my hand. I want to call evil, evil, and I want to call good, good. I want to cheer up the hearts of those whose hearts should be cheered up. I want to condemn those that ought to be condemned. Hallelujah. I don't want to see a lying vanity, and I don't want to prophesy from my own heart. I want to come with thus saith the Lord and bring the word of God to you. The Bible teaches that the word of the Lord will break the yoke. It takes the truth of God to move the yoke. It takes the anointing of God to break that old evil spirit of reasoning you've got. To do away with that old intellectual power of your own understanding that God commanded you to turn away from. You're bound with the spirit of your own understanding. But we're commanded of God to pray that God will give us the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in our heart, that we might turn from our own understanding and do the things that God has commanded us to do. Hallelujah. And so then when I come to preach to you, or I go to speak to the people, I desire one thing, and that is the ways of God. You can do whatever you want to. You can get up here as some of you do so many times. And I know what you're doing when you do it. You talk about Brother Pike being a great man, and then you name a half a dozen others great men. And you say, this is a great man, and that's a great man, and Brother Pike's a great man. And I know that we've got great men here. I know that. I'm thankful to God that we've got great men. But I know the spirit of rebellion that you've got, and the ones that you name are those that strengthen your spirit against God's word. And they're not great at all. But it is those that strengthen rebellion and causes contrariness. And God lets me understand, and God lets me see, and God lets me know what you're doing. Though we do have great men, and I'm thankful that we've got great men. There's great men in the audience, and in my heart, there is no jealousy. I'm glad that they're great, because that's what we need in the world today is great men. And I've got some here that's great. But let me tell you something, children of God. Don't you ever start talking about your great men, or the first thing you know, God will let you have your great men. And God will withdraw from you. and turn you over to a reprobate mind, let you believe what you believe to be a great man, and let you believe a lie and be damned. Listen to the word. When God preaches to you, when the preacher comes to you and tells you something, take notice of it. Your soul is at stake. Your life is at stake. Your children's lives at stake. Your wife's lives at stake. Everything you got, when God sends you a word, you listen to it. Hallelujah. So then I say, God, I don't want to go up to battle unless you're with me. Let me tell you something. A lot of you wonder why that I never speak of you from the pulpit as being great. A lot of you preachers that sit there that come into my congregation, not only here at Little Bethlehem, but out around the different parts of the world. You wonder why Brother Pike doesn't acknowledge you and why I don't put you into the pulpit. But it's because you're not great. God hasn't called you. That's why a lot of you just cause problems and rebellion and contrariness. You've seen a vain vision and a lying divination, and what you've got's come from your own mind and not God. Let me tell you something, children of God. The Bible said the wisdom that cometh from God is first peaceable. It's peaceable and it's easy to be entreated. It is without partiality. It doesn't consider one person or another person or female or male. It doesn't consider black and white. But it's first peaceable. Easily to be entreated. It's God that careth for all mankind, that sends His word. Hallelujah. That we might be free in the spirit. That we might understand God's not a busybody. God doesn't have respect to person. God is not interested in your great understanding. God is not interested in your great ability. God is not interested in your money. God's interested in your soul. He said, all the cattle of mine and the cattle of a thousand hills, all the gold and silver is mine. Hallelujah. All the prestige is God's. He raises up one, He puts down another. Kings and princes reign by the hand of God. And the Bible said God ruleth in the affairs of man. God creates the evil. God creates the good. God has His way in both. God works all things after the counsel of His own will. Don't strengthen the hand of the evildoer. I had some problems not too long ago. I couldn't get them straightened out. I went to God about them and God showed me what it was. I called certain of my leaders together. And I told them, and some of them the tears, as I spoke to some of them, from time to time tears came into their eyes. And I said, if you'll quit strengthening the hand of the evildoer and causing that person to sidestep the gospel of Christ, and make them come through the door instead of climbing up another way. I said, God will bless you. And God will cut off evil. And many of those people that are astray will see they're wrong. And they'll come into the ways of God and into the word of God. And they'll come in by the door and God will put them on the sheep clothing. One man looked at me and tears came into his eyes. And he said, what you're saying is the truth. You know, folks know when they're doing wrong. He said, Brother Pike, I never expected you to do this. In other words, he never thought I was going to come face to face with him. Remember, the Bible said, you think I'm altogether such a one as you are, but someday, God said, I will come face to face with him. And he never thought I would do it, and the tears rolled down his cheeks. But he said, I know that what you're saying is the truth. He forsook it immediately. The muddy water rolled on down the stream and everything got all right. Hallelujah. The Bible said here, prophesy against that prophet that strengthens the hand of the wicked. Prophesy against him. Let me tell you something, children of God. I said this in our early ministry when I come here. We had a number of other pastors, a number of other preachers, a number of other people. I said, I will not be your pastor. I will not be your preacher. I will not be your leader if you're going to have another one. I won't do it. God don't play second fiddle to people. Either you are under His jurisdiction or you're not under it at all. Now, I still remain the same today. I am your pastor, or you can go somewhere else or get you another pastor. I am your pastor. God sent me here. And it's not going to be two, there's not going to be three, there's going to be one. Hallelujah. When you get more than that, you've got confusion. Somebody says, bless God, I'll leave. You're running late, and you've been running late. There is but one pastor here. That's why we don't have an assistant pastor. I used to be an assistant pastor. It never done anything but cause trouble. That's why we don't have a young folks service and a young folks leader. I used to be a young folks leader. And I've seen trouble. When you get two heads, you got a freak. Amen. It's what happened in the garden. God made one head, and that head was Adam. And when the devil got into Eve, his two heads, and we wound up with Siamese twins and with a freak. And we've had nothing but trouble ever since. That's why the Bible tells us there's a continual warfare between the body and the spirit. The inner man and the outer man's always struggling with each other because of those Siamese twins. One of them's got to die. So then there's only one pastor. And that's the fellow that you listen to. Now you could come to Brother Pike and you can say, Brother Pike, you're my pastor. But let me tell you something. If you're listening to somebody else and you're esteeming somebody else's advice and you're following somebody else's advice, brother, I'm not your pastor. Neither will I stand in the day of the judgment and give an account to God for you. I won't do it. I'm not going to stand there for a hypocrite in the day of judgment. If you are a sheep of God, I'll stand with you in the day of judgment. And if God will give me grace to do it, I'll be just as bold as I am in this day if He'll give me the strength to do it. And I'll stand there and I'll say, Father, these are mine. I've done my best, God, to tell them your way. But if you're a hypocrite, I'll turn and I'll say, Lord, He's not one of mine. Hallelujah. Paul said, we must give an account there for you. In the day of judgment, we seek to present you as one before God, faultless. Brother Branham said when he was caught up beyond the veil and he saw the many hundreds of thousands of people, those people, they said, we are yours, Brother Branham, and you must stand for us in the day of the judgment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, oh, bless God, I don't need you. Well, you stand for yourself then. Amen. You go and stand for yourself. Somebody said, well, I don't need you to do it. But I want to tell you something, my beloved brother and my beloved sister. The Bible said God set a fivefold ministry in the church for the perfecting of the saints. And you've got to follow them because they're the shepherds that God put there. So then, I noticed as of late, there's been a little grouping up here on the job. That we're going through that, you know, that Alabama thing and that Carolina thing and that Indiana thing and that Georgia thing. We're going through it all over again. Every man running to his own house. It doesn't make any difference which way the water runs. Eventually, the same little group curls it around to get it for their own benefit. It's strange how they never include anybody into their party except the same little group. And that's trouble. Hallelujah. I don't have but one little group, and that's the sons and daughters of God. And they're not found to cause trouble, but the Bible said there are children of peace that make peace. Hallelujah. But it always seems to work out that way. Now, the best thing you can do, take my advice. If you love the Lord, stay away from the others. I told you when you come down here, if you've got a relative, stay away from that relative. God said, Abraham, get thee out of the land of thy kindred. As sure as you get with a relative, you're going to cause me trouble. Just as sure as you lock up with them, that means trouble for me. Stay away from them. Hallelujah. Somebody said, but that's my relative. You don't have any relatives except God. Somebody said, but that's my relatives, Brother Pike. If it is, you need to get born again or get back out there with the flesh. The mother of Jesus came. And she stood there and said, I want to see my son. He said, go tell her. Who's my mother? Oh, somebody said, Jesus, you're cruel. You're a lovely mother. He said, who is my mother? Who is my brothers? These that do the will of my Father in heaven. God's no respect of person. You say, but Brother Pike, I was raised up with them. I sopped up with them. I sat on the bench with them, went to school together. You might have done that for 10 or 15 years, but I got some brothers I'm going to be with throughout eternity. I'm going to be with them so long that they won't even be remembrance of them 2 or 3 days I was with them. It was called my brothers and sisters. Amen. My true brothers and sisters, we'll be walking together for millions and millions and millions and millions of years. The God family. Hallelujah. Praise God. I belong to Him. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Ain't you? So then I tell you, wherever relatives get together, it's trouble. If it's my relatives, it's trouble. If it's your relatives, it's trouble. If it's a little group that came in here, whether they come in from the Carolinas, whether they came in from Texas or Mexico, or wherever they came in from, it's trouble to me. Because when they get together, one of them has got to be the spokesman. Come on, folks. Just as sure as they get together, one feller's got to be the leader. He's got to be the spokesman. And when he gets to be the spokesman, 9 times out of 10, he's a contrary member to Brother Pike. You know why it works that way? Because the man that's so strong-willed is usually self-willed, and usually he puts everybody else to silence. They finally just have to shut up and listen to him because he's so self-willed, and finally he weaves the thing around. He's got control of him. You ever been in the presence of a fellow you just had to shut up? Now, there's two ways to shut up, and that is if he's speaking for God or by God or speaking for Satan and by Satan. A chain talker, you go to say something, every time you go to say something, he's already saying something. You just finally get tired and just listen. Somebody said, well, that fellow knows a lot. The Bible said a fool is known by the multitude of his words. A man that talks all the time, you know he's a fool to start with. So then what you need to do is forget about everything and everybody but Jesus. Jesus said, think not that I've come to bring peace, but I've come to bring a sword. From henceforth there shall be 2 or 3 in the house, and the 2 divided against the 1, and the 1 against the 2, and the mother against the daughter-in-law, and the son-in-law against the father. I've come to bring a sword. Now you say, well, I thought Jesus was a peacemaker. He was a peacemaker. He came with the word of peace. But he knew that when he got somebody converted in that family, the rest of them was going to jump on him. You understand? In other words, I'm going to get one of them converted and I'm going to give him a sword and the rest of them's going to jump on him. But after a while, they're going to jump back off. Amen. They're going to jump back off. I've had a lot of them to jump on me in my time, but I've had a lot of them to jump back off. You know, it's like a little bitty fellow. You got little bitty people in the world. They can't fight because they're so little. But they're like a little bee. They got a little thing they take around with them that they use for a sticker. And you jump on them, you jump right back off. You understand what I'm saying? Well, that's the way God is. We're a little bitty people. But we've got a sword of the Spirit, and when you jump on, you'll jump back off. All right? So then, I love you. I want to be your pastor. I want to help you. But God forbid that I tell people something, and then they go to hash me to pieces, tear me apart, and get over there somewhere over yonder, and tear me apart and mock me in the thing that I've said and try to magnify something or somebody or some way to tear down the truth. You know what I'll do? I'll leave you alone. I won't be your pastor. I'll leave you alone. And when God gets through with you, you'll be glad to get somebody to pastor you. Now you say, Brother Pike, you're mighty hard. Not hard. Just telling the truth. The hard part is when you mistreat somebody. I'm telling you, but you didn't tell me. You told somebody else. Nobody's come and told me that I had 8 wives. They told somebody else. See, why didn't you come and tell Brother Pike? I'm telling you. I'm not telling somebody else. You love the Lord? I love you. I don't want to rule you by fear and dominate you by fear. I don't want to run at you, hiss at you. I don't want to do that. But I'm going to tell you the truth. And I'm going to tell you, as Brother Branham said, when I nail a board on, I'm going to nail it on where the wind don't get it. In other words, there ain't going to be no mistaking about what I say. You're not going to have to run over to that brother and say, now, I wonder if Brother Pike believes such and such, or if Brother Pike has said such and such, because you're going to hear it like it is. Not only are you going to hear it like it is, but it's going to be on tape. Hundreds of sermons have gone on tape so that when somebody said, Brother Pike said, just go back and roll the tape around. And what Brother Pike said, I'll stand right toe-to-toe with it. But if it isn't on the tape, if I didn't say it, then I'm not going to stand for it. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. We don't want no death in the pot, do we? All right? I'm not scolding you. The Bible said, exhort the more as you see the day approaching. Woe unto the prophet. See, if a thing is right, it's right. Somebody would say, well, I get so tired. Well, you don't have to come. Somebody said, I get so tired of you, Brother Pike, preaching and rebuking me. Well, you don't have to come. Nobody told you to come. Nobody made you come. You come because you wanted to. So if you get tired, you don't have to come. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I want to be rebuked. I've had them to come and say, don't stop reproving me. Well, if you want to come, love me, I'll spill my blood if God will give me the grace to do it for you. I'm not boasting. I'm not brave. But if God gives me grace, I'd spill my blood for you. It wouldn't make no difference what color you are. Whether it's your children or my children or their children or our children. That wouldn't make no difference to me. But now you're going to have to level with me and be honest with me. You love the Lord? We sing that song when we all get to glory. What a day of rejoicing that will be. I'm not going to mock you. God's not mocked. I'm not going to try to cheer you up when you're not to be cheered up. I just want to tell you again, we had little differences. I'd been off on a meeting. I come back. We had a men's meeting. In that men's meeting, I told the brethren, I said, brethren, we're not going to have a split in the church. We're not going to do it. I said, if you want your pastor and you don't want me and you got one picked up, I said, get him and go with him. Get him and go with him. But I said, if you're going to be my sheep, you're going to hear my voice. If somebody else wants another pastor, the woods are full of them. That's right. The woods are full of them. As to what kind they are, that's between you and them. But the woods are full of them. But there's one thing about it. If you want the Word of God, then I'll do my best to give it to you. If you want fables, old wives' fables. You know what old wives' fables is? Is some person that's in the flesh, that's an old woman, that's done past feeling, that's just all the time going, 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 all the time going. Always saying something. Always saying something. But it doesn't gather with Christ. The Bible said, he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. How somebody would say, well, I just can't figure you out. I can't figure me out either. I can't figure me out, and my wife can't figure me out, and my children can't figure me out. Nobody can figure me out. So then what is the best thing to do is quit figuring. Quit figuring. When you quit figuring, then you'll start believing. I love you. I appreciate you. And I want to help you. And I come here to help you, not to scold you. But I want to say again, folks, if you're going to follow me, follow me. If you're going to follow somebody else, get with them and let that be it. Don't come here to this place. Don't come here. If you got somebody else in mind, then you stay with that somebody and let them present you at the judgment. If you got more confidence in them and what they say than what Brother Pike says, then you stay with them and let them present you to God. You go with them, you get you a church, you get you a little group, because you eventually will anyway. People that come in like that, they ain't up to no good. They won't be here just a few months, and the first news you know, they've done proselyted this and proselyted that. And then Paul said, men of your own selves will rise up and lead others astray after you and split the church into splinters. That's all they're going to do anyway. They'll be going this way and that way and every other way. I've had a number of them here that's tried to do that. And God's tore their hide up for it. So you're going to do it sooner or later, so you might as well do it sooner. All right. Now that we know how each other feels and understands each other, then there shouldn't be any confusion. I'd like for you to stand with me. I want to say that I appreciate you so much. I'd much rather
teach revelation than to preach to you like this unless God's in it. Because I like to see you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. But this is the knowledge of the Lord too. And this is the grace of God too. And I want to help you. Is that right? Sister Cindy said while I was preaching, it was a dove that came up here and sat for a long time. It's a great day. Today is a great day. The Lord loves you. There's not one person here that He doesn't love if you'll do right. You say, well, I've done wrong, Brother Pike. You've made that plain. The Bible said if you've done wrong, if you'll turn and repent of your sins, truly repent of your sins, and do good, all the evil that you've done shall not be remembered, in your righteousness ye shall live. But if you just use that for a gimmick and you turn around and repent every time you hear me preach, and then you go back and start firing at me again, just as quick as you get out of here, God's going to tear you up one day. Because Esau sought repentance with bitter tears and he never did find it. But if you truly repent, no matter, God will forgive you of your sins. He will bless you and you can be a great person and do something for the Lord. But remember this, them that believe in predestination or believe that you are the predestinated, let me remind you of one thing. It doesn't matter how much you believe that you are predestinated. The Bible said that if you do good and you turn and do wickedly, in your sins ye shall die. All of your righteousness that you have done shall not be remembered. Now I know there's people say, well, you can turn back to the things of this world and you can go back to drinking and cursing. As long as you've been born again, you're predestinated. If you go back out there, you haven't been born again. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that if you go back out into the world out there, the proof that you haven't been born again is that your sins are with you. And the Bible said, he that sinneth hath never seen God. He's never known God. But he that is born of God, the seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So then remember, when you do wickedly, it doesn't matter how much somebody preaches predestination to you, you better find out what predestination is, and you better not just take it for granted because somebody said it's all right, it's all right. There is a message of predestination, but it's according to godliness. It doesn't break the word. It's not contrary to the Holy Scriptures. Many people that's trusting in predestination right now are wrecking up everywhere and going bad. Somebody said, well, I believe that they'll go on to heaven. I believe they'll go on to hell. You know in your heart, if you be honest, there's nobody sitting here tonight. If you be honest with God, there's not a one sitting here that feels like they can go back out into the evil things of the world out there and go to heaven. Somebody said, bless God, I do. Yeah, but that's because you believe a lie. You've been turned over to a reprobate spirit and believe a lie to be damned. God's fashioned your heart because of your evil. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you make it convenient for you. I'll make it convenient for him. He makes it convenient for me. I'm just telling you what the word said. He said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. He that witnesseth of himself, his witness is not true. But the one that God sendeth will testify of God. I'm telling you that God said that if you do righteously and you turn and do wickedly, all of your sins or all of your righteousness that you have done shall not be remembered. In your sins ye shall die. If you've done righteousness for 50 years, if you've lived in this world 100 years and got one day left to live, and out of 100 years you've lived right every day but that one day, and you turn and do wickedly, that one day you'll go to hell. Every day that you ever live, righteous will not be remembered. In your sins you shall die. If you live in sin every day except one day, and the last day you repent and you really repent and call on God, and you've not been exposed to the gospel, and you've not used it for a gimmick, all of your wickedness that you've done shall not be remembered against you. In your righteousness ye shall live. How you can preach predestination or whatever you want to, but God didn't call me to preach predestination. He called me to preach the gospel. The gospel takes in predestination, and there is a right way to preach it, but it won't contradict the word. It won't go contrary to the word. You love him? How many of you'd rather I'd get up here
and just tell you no. Say, now, folks, you don't have to worry. You're God's chosen elect. And because you're God's chosen elect, you don't have to worry. It don't make no difference if you chew and spit and dip and smoke and curse and fight and drink and frolic. It don't make no difference if you backbite and carouse around and do anything you want to. Don't worry, folks. You're going to be all right. How would you like for me to do that and then send you right on to hell by doing that? Or how many of you would rather I'd stand up here and say, now, folks, this is a straight way and narrow is the gate, and few there be that find it, and you got to press your way into the kingdom of God, for many shall try and not be able. You see what I mean? So then you can make it by a landslide if you're with the blood. But if you ain't with the blood, you can't make it. Though you make all your efforts, they are in vain. Okay, let's sing a little chorus together. I thank you for your kind attention, your undivided attention. I'm grateful for it tonight. Not sought to scold you nor to hurt you, but we don't need a big split in the church right here, right at this time. Brother Gonzalez said he had a vision of a conspiracy. God was trying to warn you through that man's message this morning, as sure as you live. But the Bible said, and I want you to let this live with you, they that being often reproved, they that are often reproved, in other words, if I tell you today and I tell you tomorrow and I tell you the next day and the next day and the next day, they that being often reproved, they harden their heart, stiffen their neck. In other words, they just ain't going to listen to you. They're just going to lean to their own understanding. They're going to, when they get home and get that little group that they've got control over and that they've subdued to their own understanding, they're going to warp them up and twist them up and talk them out of it and say, now you got to go with Brother Pike, but don't you forget. Now you got to obey Brother Pike, because Brother Pike's a great man, but you remember, that's the devil. When a man talks to you like that, that's the devil. Satan humbles himself. He's cunning as a fox. In other words, he's afraid to come against Brother Pike and come against this because he's afraid God will kill him, but he don't want to lose control over you either, and he's trying to have control of you. A real man of God, he just say, now look, that Brother Pike out there, he's a hypocrite and he's a devil, if that's what I was. But in that I'm not a hypocrite and I'm not a devil, a man of God will say, Brother Pike is a man of God. You better listen at him. He won't make no buts about it. The man of God don't make no buts about it. He don't say, now you can listen to so-and-so, but so-and-so and so-and-so and that. You know we got her and so forth. He don't do that. He'll just tell you it's heaven or it's hell, it's righteousness or it's wickedness, it's go God's way or it's to go no way at all. He's got no two or three ways about it. He's just got one way. And he'll tell you like it is. And when a person starts telling you every which way, you know good and well that's Satan talking to you. Stay away from him, because he's as crafty as a fox, as wise as a serpent. And he'll damn your soul and get control of you and send you to hell before you know what's doing. He'll get so warped up till when a man of God comes to you, you can't get straightened out. It's like a house. You go to build a house and you get the foundation wrong and you get the framework wrong. There ain't no need to call a carpenter out then. He can't do nothing but nail boards on that old warped frame. It's going to be a mess when he gets through any way you look at it. But get right to start with. Find your preacher. Find your pastor. If you don't have any confidence in this old bald-headed fella up here, go find you another fella. Find you one. You say, well, that's what I've done. I've already found me one, Brother Pike. I believe in this person. Okay, go with that person. Leave Brother Pike alone. Find you another church. Get you a house. Have you meeting somewhere else. Go somewhere else. Don't trouble the people of God. Don't be a fool. Only a fool will trouble the people of God and trouble the house of God. Because God said, I'll trouble them that trouble you. Don't do that. Line up. Be blessed of God. Be part of the work. Don't do things to trouble the work of God. Don't interrupt marriages and homes and families and wives and children. Don't rip and rump up and down the street out here spinning your tires, having an old demon a hold of you to try to draw attention. Don't sit around in your home and listen to worldly music and then try to take a part over here. The Bible said you can't eat at the table of God and eat at the table of devils. God will kill you for that. Get away from that. Don't interrupt the church. Don't interrupt the program. Don't interrupt the work. Don't be foolish, folks. You shorten your days by your disobedience. Don't bring the wrath of God upon you. Don't grieve the minister. He loves you. He's trying to help you. God sent him for your good. The Bible said he sat there for your good. Isn't that wonderful? He sat there for your good. But said, beware if you do evil, for he beareth not the sword in vain. He is God's minister set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. So don't do that. Love one another. I'm not asking you to worship Brother Pike. I'm a man just like you, a man. I'm a nobody. I'm not asking you to be afraid of me and tremble at me. I'm not asking you to do that. I believe what the word says. If a prophet prophesies something and it come to pass, you'd better fear the prophet as well as the word. You'd better fear the prophet that spoke it, because it means he's got a contact with God. But Paul said, I'm not saying those things in my behalf that you should fear me, because I'm just a nothing and a nobody. But what I tell you is going to be true. And if you don't do it, you're going to be in trouble, because that's God's word. That's not Brother Pike, that's God's word.